I always feel like this story should come with a kids, don't try this at home warning. And I love that Jesus starts out by telling us not to blame the victim. He gets over that mentality by saying that this man's blindness is not a fault of his own or of his parents. Instead, his real thrust is giving new sight to the blind. There's certainly a literal dimension to this story that can be derived. It's a healing story, and there are more healing stories about Jesus than there are for any other person in the Jewish tradition. Though if we limit our interpretation of the story just to that one view, it really is applicable to that one person 2,000 years ago, not to us. And there is more to the story. Speaking metaphorically, we all have blind spots, don't we? Things that we'd rather not know about, things that we'd rather not see, because perhaps we're already overloaded with the suffering of the world and even in our own lives. And I know that lots of us are overwhelmed, so we can't take on one more thing. But I have to say, I think we do a pretty amazing job in this congregation, both of seeing and doing. And we do pretty well as a denomination also, especially through our one great hour of sharing offering. You know, we didn't necessarily see where our dollars were going last year when we gave money to this particular offering, but we had a vision for what it might do. Are you able to visualize the distinction between literally seeing and envisioning something that hasn't yet happened? You know, in retrospect, one of the things that you made possible was an immediate UCC response to help Ukrainian war refugees. But at the beginning of 2022, we had no idea that the war was coming to Ukraine and that it would bring devastation and a huge refugee crisis. And even though none of us got to see that in advance, your giving to One Great Hour of Sharing made refugee relief possible from the very onset of the crisis through our global partners. One of the shortcomings of focusing just on local outreach, or even just focusing on with things that happen within the four walls of the church, is that it limits the scope of our vision to only those who are in our midst. There are great needs in other parts of the country and in other parts of the world that you and I ourselves may never see. We might see it, you know, on the internet or on television, but that we may never see ourselves. But there are situations all the time where our global partners need our help. I'm not saying that doing local outreach work is unimportant, and I'm not saying that doing work within the congregation is unimportant. We know it's important because we see it. We see its results. We see it happening. But it's also vital that we develop a vision that focuses more broadly on the needs of God's world. Sometimes our blindness is closer to home. We're unable to see some of the things that are most important in our lives. We take them for granted until they're gone, whether it's our health, our relationships, or just being alive and the wonder that that is. So we need to open our eyes to the world around us, to the people around us. We need to open the eyes of our hearts to see within us. And we need to open our hearts to the holy. You know, there are things that we can't see with our eyes, but that we know to be true. Physicists don't actually see subatomic particles, but they see evidence of their existence. And how many of us doubt the existence of quarks and neutrinos just because nobody has ever laid eyes on them? You know, I recently listened to a talk by a woman named Amy Jill Levine, a respected New Testament scholar at Vanderbilt, and she claimed that there are real invisible things in our lives that no one should try to negate or take away. And she spoke specifically about faith. No one ever sees faith. And she said it's not even a logical concept. But one can see the impact of lives that are lived faithfully. No one ever sees love itself, which is also not really a logical concept. But we see the effects of love every day. Just because we can't see things with our eyes doesn't mean that they are not real. Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, who wrote in The Little Prince, "It is only with the heart that one can see rightly." He was onto something there. If our blindness is in our hearts rather than in our eyes, we can ask God to metaphorically apply some mud and wash our hearts so that we'll be able to see. The restoration of sight to people like us whose hearts are blind is a tall order. And when Jesus is quoted in John's gospel as saying, "I am the light of the world," the gospel writer proclaims that it is Jesus who gives us a vision of what is real, because he illuminates reality for us. The things that we can see with our hearts rather than just with our eyes. So what is it that keeps you from seeing rightly? What's impairing your heart's sight? I was reading a Lenten devotional essay this week, and it struck me that what keeps me sometimes from seeing clearly is fear. And maybe that's true for you too. The author claims that frightened people will never turn the world right side up because they use too much energy on protection of self. He claims it's the vocation of the baptized to help make the world whole. The unafraid are open to the neighbor while the frightened are defending themselves from the neighbor. The unafraid are generous in the community while the frightened, in their anxiety, must keep and store and accumulate to make themselves feel safe. The unafraid commit acts of compassion and mercy while the frightened don't notice those in need. The unafraid are committed to justice for the weak and the poor, while the frightened see them only as threats. The unafraid pray in the morning, care through the day, and rejoice at night with thanks and praise, while the frightened are endlessly restless and dissatisfied. Is fear holding you back from seeing with the eyes of your heart? You know, we sang Amazing Grace, which is so familiar to all of us, but, and you probably know the background of that story, that John Newton's blind spot was self-deception, that the slave trade was morally acceptable. But after having his viewpoint transformed, he wrote Amazing Grace to describe his experience. So when have you been blind, but now you see? This occurs not just among individuals, but in institutions as well. The church has certainly had its share of blind spots over the last two millennia, whether forbidding the ordination of women, using scripture to justify slavery, or demonizing LGBTQ folks, or developing Christian nationalism in Nazi Germany and in our own nation. On a more local level, I wonder what our blind spots at Plymouth have been and are today. I'm sure that if we tried, we could come up with quite a laundry list. Where have we not had the vision to do what needs to be done? Sometimes our lack of vision involves traveling along a safe route, when taking some risks would be a more faithful response. You know, if we are bathed in the light of Christ, we're called to open the eyes of our hearts and see the reality we cannot necessarily see with our eyes. So may we open ourselves to the holy, to ourselves, and to one another. Amen.